Vajra Pure Mana Sri Nanda Nandana. I'll read the translation. O mind, just worship the lotus feet of the son of Nanda, which make one fearless. Having obtained this rare human birth, cross over this ocean of worldly existence through the association of saintly persons. Day and night I remain sleepless, suffering heat and cold, wind and rain. For a bit of flickering happiness I have vainly served wicked and miserly men. Do you found it? No? Yes? Okay. Yeah, the translation is not there. What assurance of real happiness is there in all of one's wealth, youthfulness, sons, and family members? This life is tottering like a drop of water on a lotus petal. Therefore, you should always serve and worship the divine feet of Lord Hari. It is the desire and great longing of Govinda Das to engage himself in the nine processes of bhakti, namely hearing the glories of Lord Hari and chanting those glories, constantly remembering him, and offering prayers to him, serving the Lord's lotus feet, serving the Supreme Lord as a servant, worshipping him with flowers and incense and so forth, serving him as a friend, and completely offering the Lord one's very self. So before I begin and read, we have a commentary by Srila Prabhupada, and we're going to speak a little bit from this commentary. I would like to introduce all of you, a devotee, an old Boston devotee who joined Boston ISKCON Temple in 1974. And we grew up together in Krishna consciousness here in the Boston Temple. And he stayed here for many years. And about 17 years ago, he moved to the Hidanagari farm community. And he's been living there, serving there since 17 years ago. And he's here with us in Boston today under some unfortunate circumstances, but they're somewhat related to this bhajan. And I chose this bhajan because I thought Mukhavani could speak a little bit about this topic, about the necessity to fix one's mind to become on Krishna, to become free from fear. Mukhavani Prabhu, 1 week ago on Friday, had a heart attack. He was taken. Well, then maybe he'll tell the story. I will tell the story. But he is here in Boston, recovering from his heart attack, and it's hard to keep him here. He's all ready to go back to work. I think he wants to leave on Tuesday. We're pulling on him and keep him from returning right away. But. We're very fortunate to have him. We're going to ask him to speak a little bit also this evening. And some of you may know him, may remember him from many years. What year did you leave for? In 1989. He was serving here steadily right up from 74 to 89, and then since then he's going to be the Hare community. And when he was here, I can tell you some things about Mukha. Two things. There's always these devotees in the temple that are ready to do anything. And whatever needs to be done, and if it means working all day long from morning to night, and if it means not getting sufficient rest, and not getting sufficient prasadam, that's not a consideration. That was Mukha Vanya. That's how we knew him for years and years and years. He was always running up and down these four flights of stairs. As those who reside here know what these four flights of stairs are like. Going up and down them a few times a day. As the body gets older, it takes its toll on the body. But Mukhavanya would handle those stairs like they were nothing. He was the temple commander, the head cook. I think he had every position in the temple that one could possibly have. And sometimes he would do them all simultaneously. right up to the time that he left, he was actually serving in Boston temples, his wife had. And everybody who lived in the temple during those years, we all loved Mukha. In fact, when I went the other night to look at Andy staying with his sister who lives nearby. They went and got him from the hospital in Pennsylvania, and they brought him up here for some recuperation. So I went to see him the other night at his sister's house, and she came out to thank me for coming and visiting and for bringing some prasadam. And I said, sure, and there's no problem at all. And then we just looked at each other. We both said simultaneously, we love Mukha. So, anyone who was here during those years, that's, everyone had the same thing to say about Mukha. And they still love him even though he's not here. Prana Gopi Balavar, I'm sure, have the same thoughts of Mukha. Very eager to accept his service in any way. And so, circumstantially, now he's here in Boston. We don't know for how long he'll be here. But while he's here, we're trying to take advantage of his association. We've been stopping to visit him every night, and today he agreed to come to the temple. And I asked him to speak a little bit about some of his realizations that maybe he could share with all of you about his recent experiences and the importance of remembering Krishna in order to become fearless at the time of death, which is essentially what Prabhupada said. I'll read the first paragraph here, and then I'd like to ask Mukta Bhanya to speak a little bit. Prabhupada says, Bhajavure Manashi Nanda Nandana Abhaya Charanara Vindare. Vaja means worship, mana, mind. The poet Govindadas, a great philosopher and devotee of the Lord, he is praying. Actually, if you want to speak, maybe you'd like to read. Can we move this? Sorry to disrupt all this equipment here, but it's not going to work.
The poet Govindadas, a great philosopher and devotee of the Lord, he is praying. He is requesting his mind, because the mind is the friend and mind is the enemy of everyone. If one can train his mind in Krishna consciousness, then he is successful. If he cannot train his mind, then life is a failure. Therefore, Govindadas, the great devotee of Lord Krishna, his very name suggests Govinda Das. Govinda, Krishna, and Das means servant. This is the attitude of all devotees. They always put a fixed list, Das means servant. So Govinda Das is praying, my dear mind, please, you try to worship the son of Nanda, who is Abhaya Charan, whose lotus feet is secure. There is no fear. Abhaya. Abhaya means there is no fear. And Charan means lotus feet. So he is advising his mind, my dear mind, please you engage yourself in worshipping the fearless lotus feet of the son of Nanda. Bhajahu Remana Sri Nanda Nandana. Nanda Nandana means a son of Nanda Maharaj, Krishna. And his lotus feet is Abhaya, fearless. So Govindadas is requesting his mind, please be engaged in the transcendental loving service of the lotus feet of Krishna. So far other things are concerned. And he says also that Durlabha Manava Janma. Durlabha means very rare to obtain. Manava Janma means this human form of life. It comes after a very long rotation. Once chance is given to become Krishna conscious so that one may get out of the cycle of birth and death. Therefore he advises this life, this human life, human form of life is very important. Durlabha. Durlabha means, da means of great difficulty, and labha means obtainable. So foolish people, they do not know how much important this human form of life. They are simply wasting in sense gratification like animals. So this is very instructive, that he is training his mind that you engage your mind in the worship of Lord Krishna. Durlabha Manava Janma Satsange. And this training of the mind is possible only in good association. Satsanga. Satsanga means persons who are simply 7% engaged in the service of the Lord. They are called Sat. Satang Satangat. Without association of devotees, it is impossible to train the mind. It is not possible by the so-called yoga system or meditation. One has to associate with devotees Otherwise, it is not possible. Therefore, we have formed this Krishna Consciousness Society so that one may take advantage of this association. So Govinda Das, poet and devotee, is advising, Durlabha Manava Janama Satsangi. You have got this very nice, rare human body. Now associate with devotees and engage your mind on the fearless lotus feet of Krishna. He is requesting his mind. First of all, I'd like to say that Ranjana Swami was really a little too kind. I was a hard worker, I didn't keep really busy, but I also made a ton of offenses. And that chastised a lot, learned a lot of really hard lessons. And of course, it was what I needed was good for me, but he sort of missed those parts of it.
I don't remember.
I had that heart attack a week and a half ago, and like you hear all your life about this person had a heart attack, that person had a heart attack, and you think about it, and it sounds really bad. Ooh, and when you have one, it's a really strange feeling. I mean, it's a painful feeling, but aside from pain, it's just kind of a weird feeling. Like, well, I'm having a heart attack. this kind of really stinks. It hurts a lot. My friend drove me. I tried to go to work in the morning and thought it was a pain that would pass, which usually you have a lot of pains, and usually they pass away after an hour or a day or two. But so I thought I'd try to go to work and see if the pain passed. And I started driving, and it didn't pass. It got really bad real fast. So I stopped at a friend, and he was home, fortunately, and gave me a ride to the hospital and rushed me in the emergency room. And then they put me on the helicopter and rushed me to another hospital. The whole time I'm thinking I could hardly move, I couldn't, a lot of pain, I was sweating like crazy, couldn't talk, it was a real effort just to say a word or two. How much pain are you feeling on a scale of 1 to 10?
That's what they ask you?
Yeah, they always ask me, how much pain do you feel on a scale of 1 to 10? They say that on the So anyway, I got the air and they stuck the thing up my vein and opened up the artery, and I was okay. And I felt pretty good within a couple of hours. But the hairy part was going to the hospital and going on the helicopter with all the pain, and I'm thinking, and then you start, that's when you start thinking about Bhaja Hume Manashi Avayacharana Vindare, and everything you've heard about preparing for the time of death really comes to you, it really comes back to you all at once. It feels like they're going to probably operate. If I even make it there, they're probably going to operate. And if they operate, and maybe I won't make it through the operation, maybe I'll leave my body there. So it certainly felt like that. It hurt a real lot. and it was getting real bad, real weak. So I started thinking like that, and then you start hearing Prabhupada saying, everything is tested at the time of death. Everything that we're doing on devotional service is a preparation for the final test. Of course, it's not to minimize any of the little things we're going through day by day. Every little test and trials and tribulations and Krishna consciousness, each one is an important building block. Every time you make an offense and you get smashed down and you realize I was offensive, I have to stop that. Or every time you think selfishly, Krishna wants me to do this, but I want to do that. And then we feel bad. As devotees, we feel bad when we know that we're not living up to what Krishna wants us to live up to. We feel bad. So everything and all the work that we do in Krishna consciousness, there's so many duties that have to be done. There's no limit to them. Srila Prabhupada started a worldwide movement that he wanted everyone in the whole world to become Krishna conscious. So obviously there's no end, there's no beginning or end to the number of books that have to be distributed, the number of feasts that have to be prepared, the number of pots that have to be washed, the number of everything is unlimited. There's unlimited amount of service to be done, and it's all practical, which was Prabhupada's great, and his spiritual master's great contribution was Yukta Vairagya. You quote that first?
Anasaktasya Pashanya Taham Pranjati Nirmanda Krishna Sambandhi Yukta Vairagya Nuchati.
Then, you do the English?
One who renounces things without understanding their relationship with Krishna is not as complete in his renunciation as one who knows that everything is has a relationship with Krishna is used in Krishna's service.
Yeah. So the generally, a lot of times people have an idea of spiritual life that is just renounce everything, and of course there is that tradition in our in Vedic culture also, is strict renunciants who don't want to have anything to do with society in any way, generally known as Babaji's, and they it's certainly a bona fide tradition, but the tradition of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati and Srila Prabhupada is the tradition of Yukta Vairagya, to use everything in the service of Krishna. So whatever we have, Prabhupada was very observant. When anyone would come to the temple, especially in the beginning, he would, and all through his stay here, and still we do, we follow the same principle today, that the leaders and those who are responsible for getting things accomplished in Krishna consciousness, they're always looking to see what can a person do. Practically speaking, does he have a strong body? Is she a good cook? Is she strong and healthy? Is this person a great artist? Can this person fix cars? Is this person fit for working in a very long and tedious type of job, like on a farm? The Guru Prabhupada was always seeing by his experience what can somebody practically offer. What can we do physically, mentally, to help him spread Krishna consciousness? So this is a great secret, open secret of preparing ourselves for the time of death, for making advancement in Krishna consciousness and ultimately preparing for the time when we won't be able to do anything anymore. After all, there will be a time when we can't fix a car, we can't plow a field, we can't cook an offering for the deity. So the point is, as long as we're able, we have to be able to use whatever we have to be of some service, to be of some practical use. It's of the utmost importance, because in the age of Kali, can you list the qualities of the age of Kali?
Quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, unlucky, above all, always disturbed?
Yeah, the qualities of the living entity in the age of Kali, we are so lacking in good qualities. We're very quarrelsome, everybody knows that. We're always ready to pick a fight or get into an argument or even a physical fight, up to wars between nations or even world war. We're very, very quarrelsome. We're very unfortunate, unlucky, very slow in spiritual life. We're very, and our minds are always disturbed. The mind is always disturbed, especially as this so-called information age, there's so much more and more information, and the more information there is, it simply basically means that there's more disturbances for the mind. So our minds are always, each one of us knows that our minds are always going in 10 different directions at the same time. So the practical use of our mind and our body in Krishna consciousness is meant specifically for controlling the mind. Because you come to the temple or you work at home on some project for the benefit of the temple, benefit of the spiritual master, and it's something that you can get into, and something that will control, that will bring the mind under control, at least for the period of time when you're actually physically and or mentally performing that particular duty. So the mind being always disturbed and always all the negative qualities of Kali Yuga affecting our consciousness, we need something that's very simple, very practical. That's why Lord Chaitanya came. Lord Chaitanya gave a very simple, practical formula. Sing and dance. It's for, you may say, oh, this is childish, but it's just sentimental. And that's, condemnation or a fault that they find, that some of the, that some people traditionally find that the Vaishnavas over the years, as they say, oh, the Vaishnavas, they're sentimentalists. All they want to do is sing and dance. And so, in a sense, they're right. The ultimate goal of all religion is pure sentiment, pure love of God, is the purest form of loving sentiment for the Supreme Lord. But the practical means of attaining that in Kali Yuga is given by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is simply chanting, dancing, feasting, and philosophy. And even philosophy is too hard for us a lot of time. But we are capable of understanding it, at least many basic principles of Vaishnava philosophy. But everyone can chant, dance, feast, and understand some philosophy. And in between the chanting, dancing, and feasting, we can watch some parts. We can sweep a floor. We can translate a book. We can travel somewhere and preach. We can do something concrete, something practical. We can give money. Money, sometimes we're not doing much of anything else. We're working day and night to support our family, and we have wives, children, we have a house, we have a car, we have so many things, but at least we can give some money, some part of our hard-earned money to the support of the devotional service that's going on. The point is that the essential point is that it's very, very practical, it's very, very simple, very easy to understand, and it's not hard to execute with this sincerity, with this sincere heart. We know what we know in our heart. Each one of us knows what we've been given by Prabhupada and by Prabhupada's disciples and representatives here. We know how much we've all benefited from coming in contact with pure devotional service. And we're naturally, when we're given something of great value, any decent human being will feel grateful in our heart, and will want to do something in return. So the process is simple and practical for anyone and everyone. The philosophy is simple and easy to understand, and the grateful heart should do the rest. Out of gratitude and sincerity, we should all be willing to serve. We should all be willing to work. And so that's what it's like when I was in the ambulance and I was thinking, you hear all kind of stories, like people who are on the point of death or on the point of losing someone dear to death. You hear all kind of stories and they say, oh God, if you just help me make it through this, I promise I'll. If you get really religious really fast. So I was praying like that. So that's what we have to do. It's nothing difficult. And at the point of death, then there's nothing to fear. Then we're thinking, then the faith is, if our faith is strong, and we've had so much proof from our realization of our Guru and Krishna, to realization of Prabhupada's mercy over the course of years, then we know that Krishna is definitely there. Krishna is definitely waiting for us. Krishna is definitely willing and able to save us. Oh, yeah, and then we don't have to be afraid. Everyone is afraid at the time of death. And it is a very fearful time. And I can say from my personal experience, I thought I could very easily leave my body at that time. And of course, we can leave our body at any moment. That's another whole story. But we can leave our body at any moment. But at times like that, you think that I could very well have left my body. If my friend hadn't been there, after I knocked on the door, and he was there, he came to the door, but after I knocked on the door, I couldn't stand up anymore. I couldn't walk, because I was like losing, I was so dizzy, I couldn't stand up, and so much pain, I couldn't move hardly. So if he hadn't come to the door, and it was an isolated house, not near any other house, I probably could have just lain there, and that would have been it. So And I was thinking, well, could be in my body now. And so I was thanking Krishna, thanking Prabhupada, praying to them for mercy, and just thanking Srimati Radharani and Krishna, you know, they're always there in the spiritual world, and that's where my eternal home. So I can say that I was definitely feeling pretty uneasy, and I could say scared, but very nervous. But in my heart, I knew that. Well, I don't have to worry. We're always afraid of the unknown. We don't. I wouldn't have known if I had left my body then. I couldn't have known where I was going next. So we're always nervous, we're always apprehensive. But we don't have to be afraid. Because Abhaya Karana, one who takes shelter at the lotus feet of the sure devotee, the very name, Abhaya Karana, Prabhupada's name when he was given by his father, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati added Aravinda, Abhaya Charana Aravinda, so fearless because of having taken shelter at the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So everything boils down to that. With all the philosophy, all the duties that we do, all the devotees that we make, all the prasad, all the feasts that we cook, all the floors that we clean, everything is boiled down to the basic fact of taking shelter, taking sincere shelter at the lotus feet of the devotees of Krishna. That's all up there. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. I wanted him to share his realizations while he was still fresh after having undergone an experience like that. All of us, I'm sure, at some point have experienced a traumatic experience of life, and we thought maybe at any moment, just as Govinda Das says in the song, that this wealth, sons, wife, youth, family, what is there in it, just as a drop appears on a lotus leaf, such as this life. So if he wants to take up the worship of Sri Hari, the only necessity, he compares to be like life to be like a drop of water on the lotus leaf. That a drop of water on a lotus leaf, at any moment it could just fall off. It doesn't take much. A little vibration, a little movement, a little, and therefore Govinda Das explains that everything that we have in this world is tottering, just like that drop of water. And Mukhtamanya Prabhu, the one phrase that he used in the course of his talk that I really appreciated, well, there were several of them, but the one that he said that the gratitude will take over. But this thing, he said the gratitude will do the rest. Right? That really struck me. I mean, in the heart, you know, that sometimes you get these little realizations, they're little jewels that somebody share, and that one really, really struck my heart. The realization of a devotee who's been serving his spiritual master faithfully for 35 years, and
having gone to Gaur in his disguise, there are many difficulties and tests that one has to go face along the way. And he also went on another phrase that I oftentimes use, and he said also is that fear is a result of uncertainty about one's future. In other words, that we don't know what's lying in the next moment. From one moment to the next, they were always facing the unknown with the future. And therefore, when one is in a very difficult situation and one is being tested, to be able to feel grateful in the face of adversity, that is the quality of which Govindadas, the quality of one's consciousness, of which Govindadas is speaking about in the song of Vajivarimana, that when one's mind is fixed upon Krishna, then all fear goes away. Immediately is dissipated because one feels safe. Of course, when one has gratitude, that also is very compelling. Because gratitude means that one has received something that's had a very great impact on one's life, something that's very genuine, and you want to do something to reciprocate something in return. That, as we said, also that statement of Kavanya made helped me appreciate his years of dedication and service to Srila Prabhupada, and made me confident that here's a person that in the face of adversity at any moment his life could leave, but he was realizing that, wait a minute, what is all this for anyways? What have I been struggling for? What have I been doing? If we mold our life, Prabhupada oftentimes uses that example that one has to mold his life in such a way that he remembers Krishna. What does it mean to mold our life in such a way to remember Krishna? Because Smartavyam Satatam is explained that Krishna must be remembered, he must never be forgotten. That all the rules and all the prohibitions are given in the scriptures are meant to serve these two principles, to always remember Krishna. Tasmat Savishu Kalishu Maham Nisvanam Yudhicha, Krishna tells Arjuna, he says, you should think about me and you should offer the and you should engage in your work for me, but your mind dedicated to me, and your mind fixed upon me, and your activities dedicated to me. He says, you will come to me of this, there is no doubt. Unto Kali Chamameva Smaran Vapa Kalevaram. Krishna says, whoever remembers me at the time of giving up his body, he wants to change my nature, of this there is no doubt. In so many verses, Krishna himself has spoken, and he gives his assurance. He gives his assurance that the devotee remembers me at the time of giving up his body. I will take him. I will take him back. He will cross over the ocean of repeated birth and death. As Krishna says, anyone has deviation, Bunamai, Mama Maya Dharati, Yamani Dharati, finally comes to Rati K. This divine nature of mind is very difficult to overcome, but anyone who surrenders to me can easily overcome all the difficulties and come back to me. So Krishna, he gives all these assurances, and our faith will be tested. That faith that Krishna will give us his protection, that will always be tested throughout our life. And oftentimes we think about when is the real test going to come, but we have so many. Just like one goes to school, there's many midterms examinations, and sometimes there's monthly examinations, weekly examinations, and then at the end of the semester, and at the end of the school year, is the final exam. So there's many sub-tests, smaller tests, that we have to face practically every day. We're being tested, as Mokavanya was saying, the mind is disturbed. And that's one of the symptoms of the present age of Kali. In this age, kind of quarrelsome, lazy, misguided, and above all, always disturbed. Why are we disturbed? Because we're being tested constantly. And we're disturbed because we're not passing the test. We're not seeing Krishna's hand. We're not seeing Krishna's presence in our life. If a devotee actually sees that the circumstance that he's in, he's been put in the situation by Krishna, and immediately fear dissipated, goes away. Just like there's a verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, which describes the dualities in the material world. It says, although the dualities of the material world do not ultimately exist, the conditioned soul experiences them as real due to this conditioned mentality. This imaginary experience of a world separate from Krishna can be compared to the acts of dreaming and desiring. And the verse goes on to explain, when a conditioned soul at night dreams of something desirable or enjoyable, or he daydreams of something that he would like to have or like to avoid, he creates a reality that has no existence beyond his imagination. And then the verse goes on to explain that the tendency of the mind is to accept and reject activities on the basis of sense gratification. The intelligent person should therefore control his mind, controlling it from the illusion of seeing things separate from Krishna. And when the mind is so controlled, then one becomes fearless. The verse ends by explaining, this is the platform of fearlessness. We're living in this duality of this material world, and we're seeing things as good and bad on the basis of an improper standard. And this, an example that the Bhagavatam verse uses is of a dream. And he says that when a conditioned soul dreams of something desirable, or something horrible, or in daydreams of something he would like to have, or something he would like to avoid, he creates a reality that has no existence beyond his imagination. So what does that mean? It means that just like if a person is having a dream, at night he's having a dream and it's a very wonderful dream. Maybe in his dream he's thinking that, or he's seeing that he's dressed as a king, he's living in a palace, and he's surrounded by queens, and he's living in regal opulences, and everything, every desire is immediately being fulfilled, and his enjoyment is to the utmost extreme. It's a wonderful dream. But then when he wakes up from his dream, he realizes it was only a dream, and then he suffers because he realizes all that happiness I was feeling was connected to a dream. And the same thing, is he has a horrible dream. In his dream, he's dreaming that somebody is attacking him, and something very terrible is going to happen at any moment. And usually, at that terrible moment, we wake up and it feels so good because we realize it was just a dream. But both the happiness we feel from waking up from the bad dream and the suffering we feel from waking up a good dream, what are they connected to? They're connected to a dream. They have no reality. All that happiness and all that suffering that we're experiencing is all connected simply to a dream. And therefore, there is the night dream where we have happiness and distress, and then there's a daydream. When he daydreams of something he'd like to have or something he would like to avoid, he creates a reality that has no existence beyond his imagination. Just like in our daydreams, we get so much pleasure by the anticipation of something very nice that we want to achieve, to accomplish. And the pleasure that we get from the anticipation even far exceeds sometimes the amount of pleasure that comes when we get the fulfillment, because it's so temporary, as Govinda Das describes. He says, everything in this world, he says, is like that drop of water on a lotus leaf. So in the same way, all the pleasure that we get from the senses in contact with the sense objects, they're chapala sukha. Chapala sukha means flickering. At any moment, they can just go away. So the daydream also, we create a reality that has no existence beyond our imagination. We begin to experience happiness because we anticipate so much pleasure that will come from something, but then we actually get the fulfillment. It's Bhoga Tyaga, it's called. Bhoga Tyaga means we get some enjoyment, but then because the pleasure that we derive from it doesn't last, then there's suffering. Bhoga, renunciation. We renounce it, we give it up, because it's insufficient to give me real happiness. So therefore, there must be a state of consciousness beyond this dreamlike state, the daydream and the night dream. And therefore, the Bhagavatam states that the state of consciousness beyond the daydream and the night dream is Krishna consciousness. This is the reality. When Muktamanya, in that moment, when he was lying on that doorstep and he was realizing he couldn't move, and he began to think, you know, like, well, right? He says, this is it. This could be all over. You have to grab onto something because you're thinking, I'm having a heart attack. And it's getting worse. And here I am lying in this condition. I'm so helpless. And that state of helplessness, what can you do except to look for the most tangible thing that you can hold on to? And what is the most tangible thing that you can hold on to? Is all those tests that we were able to pass throughout our life of remembering Krishna in difficult times and difficult circumstances. That's what we can tangibly hold on to and remember, and have trust and faith and gratitude that Krishna supported me before. Now he'll support me in this most difficult time and difficult test. And Prabhupada, he gives that example. He said that when a devotee depends upon him, he says, Krishna, he holds his devotee just like a person holds a very valuable jewel. When a person holds a very valuable jewel, he holds it very tightly because it's so valuable to him. He doesn't want to lose it. So in the same way, a devotee who is always thinking of Krishna, depending upon Krishna, and calling out to Krishna, hey Krishna, hey Govinda, as Draupadi called out in the time of her distress, then Krishna came. Of course, it's described as a little story in connection to that, which describes that Krishna didn't come and protect Draupadi immediately. And when Draupadi asked Krishna, he said, Krishna, why is it that it took so much time for you to come and to give me protection? And Krishna said to Draupadi, he said that, well, at first, when you were pulled into the assembly and there was an attempt to strip you naked and to take you, first you looked to Bhishma because he was the senior member of the assembly, and you thought maybe he could protect you. So when you looked at Bhishma, obviously it wasn't a come because you were thinking Bhishma would protect you. He said then after you saw that Bhishma was helpless, then you looked to your husbands, the Pandavas. But they were also, they couldn't do anything. But you look to them. And then, after you realize your husbands couldn't do anything to help you, then you thought, well, let me try to hold on to the sari. Maybe I'm stronger. I can protect myself. So you thought, maybe at that time, you thought you could protect yourself. But it wasn't only to that final moment when you threw up your hands and realized, no, hey, Govinda, there's no one but Govinda who could protect me. Then I came. And I gave you protection. So it may have seemed like it took a long time, but actually, I'm just waiting for you to turn to me. So we're like that sometimes. We start calculating everything in time of this difficulty, that all the past remembrances, like the card files, it starts coming up, you know? What are we going to hold on and latch on to? But at that point, we have to realize that no, there's nothing left. And Krishna says, if you depend upon me, I will protect you. Declare boldly, he says, to Arjuna, my devotee is never vanquished. So, if we feel that helpless dependence and gratitude that Krishna is so kind, that he supported me up until now, certainly he'll support me in this most difficult time, then that's the basis for becoming fearless. And fearlessness is something that's not so easy to accomplish, especially in this age of Kali, when everyone's mind is so much disturbed, because the slightest attachment is always being ripped away, one after the next, we're seeing by being destroyed by time. So time, Krishna says, Kalosmi, I am time. I've come as the destroyer of everything in the form of time. He'll take away everything. But one thing he won't take away is just that if we remember him, he won't take away our ability to remember him. He'll help us. He'll appear in our minds, and he'll give us full protection. I remember there was one story. I probably should stop saying this priority, but there was a devotee in Ukraine. He had he had a stomach cancer. And he was going through a series of tests. They didn't know what it was for a long time. Finally, the doctors determined that he had a growth and it was cancerous. And the devotee decided, and I just want to prepare myself for departure. What else can I do? There's nothing that I can do under these circumstances. He decided he will go to Vrindavan. So, in Vrindavan, it was very rapidly accelerated. It was, I can't remember what stage it was, but it was a stage that was irreversible. And sometimes they would try to give him medications to ease the pain, and it just wouldn't work. He would pain, and he would be lying and sweating. Mukhtavani was describing how he was sweating. And sometimes he would just call out and scream, and the devotee was taking care of him. It was very difficult to see this devotee under so much pain, and to try to get other doctors to alleviate the pain, but it would come back again quickly. And then one night, this devotee was explaining. He said, the devotee was taking care of him, was explaining his crying out stopped. And he came to the room. He thought maybe it was over, but the devotee was lying there, and he was smiling. And the devotee said, "Are you feeling all right? What is that?" And the devotee could only speak very little bit. He said, "I know everything's okay." And the devotee asked him, "What do you mean everything? What do you know?" He said, "Maharani, she came to me, and she told me personally. She said, 'Don't worry, I'll take care of his pain.'" And the devotee was just lying there and was not feeling any pain. And then the next day he was painless and departed. So it was very amazing to hear, this devotee who was dedicated years to serving, he couldn't. Prabhupada gives this example how the devotee will always be protected if he calls out and depends on Krishna. So there are so many stories that we can tell similar of this nature, but in essence, this is the real desirable state of mind that we should all be endeavoring to cultivate, because we never know. We never know. Prabhupada would always warn us and say that at any moment, this drop of water could fall off the lotus leaf, such as this life. So at once, let me take up the worship of Sri Hari, the only necessity. This is the real necessity of life. Everything else that we may be thinking of in terms of necessities of life, as we explained the other day, these are the necessities for maintaining life in the body. But life has its own necessity, because life goes on after the body, and the necessity of life is to be able to remember Krishna. Therefore, we are always very eager, looking for the opportunity to be in the association of devotees who help us, who remind us about Krishna by their words and by their actions. And that is why I asked Mukhtavanya Prabhu to speak to all of you tonight. Thank you very much.